Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show, a spiritual episode about the state of America and that scold activist who tried to pin Donald Trump down at the National Prayer Service. Disgusting. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com and become a member today, members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
We're not waiting around. It is rapid pace time. It's shock and awe. We're taking back the country. Affirmative action, gone. Hiring practice at the FAA, restored to merit. We're doing pardons. Ross Ulbricht is out of prison. January 6th, that is all handled. We still have some things to clean up on the January 6th thing. President is delivering. The president is doing more in 48 hours than most presidents would do in 4 years. And they know it. So President Trump had a whole schedule of events. And typically, as the tradition is, you end at the National Cathedral with a national prayer service. It's usually, okay, thank you, pray for the president, pray for the vulnerable, pray for peace. Fine, no problem. So the president goes to this national prayer service, and this unhinged lunatic, who's a bishop by the name of Marianne Edgar Buddy, is the bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Washington. She's the first woman to hold the position. Now, my take on this is a little bit different. Some people say, how on earth was she allowed to speak? Of course, that's a good take. That's a fine take. I'm actually glad she did this. It shows the bitterness, the improper behavior, the violating of customs of what the American left has actually become. The sloppy theology. Let's just play right here. I actually have not listened to it yet. Did you know that? I was so busy yesterday. I was looking at just the transcription. This is Cut 84. It's a minute tape. National prayer service. President Trump is there. Won a great election, popular vote, and he has to go get scolded. This woman is scolding the president of the United States. Play cut 84.
I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families. Some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples.
Joining us now is Calvin Robinson, priest and broadcaster and great friend. Calvin, welcome to the program. First of all, so glad that we won. I want to get your reaction on that. But what is your reaction to this woman?
I share your take, actually, in that it's good that this was exposed, because we've just had 48 hours of jubilant celebration and I'm still euphoric. And I know everyone I bump into the street, you know, everyone's wearing MAGA hats and scarves and everyone's kind of having a great time. But it's good to be reminded of why we had to fight and why it was important that we won, because of people like this. And in that sermon, right, she's got the best opportunity she'll ever have in her life to put forward the gospel to many people who will never hear it in their lives. This is the national theatre. All eyes are on her in this moment. Now, as a Christian, she could stand there and say, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He died on the cross for our sins. He offers every single one of us salvation. All we have to do is repent of our sins and have faith in him. Come to church. This place is open for you. You are welcome here. She could have said that. She could have proclaimed the gospel. Instead, she chose to lecture Donald Trump on her leftist, radicalist, extremist politics, which just goes to show the mess that the church is in at the moment. But what's interesting is, what did she say at the pulpit? Oh, we need these immigrants for our menial labor. You know, who's going to clean my dishes? Who's going to make my coffee? We need these people. We need these servants, essentially, is what she's saying. And of course, she's doing, as you're aware, she's doing the old thing of conflating illegal immigration with legal immigration, saying not all immigrants are criminals. Lots of them pay taxes. Yes, the legal immigrants pay taxes because they can work. Illegal immigrants do not pay taxes because they work illegally. Therefore, they are criminals because they're here breaking the law illegally. She knows this. She's a smart woman, but she's conflating on purpose to make it look like Donald Trump is anti-immigration. Now, as someone who is not a US citizen that is living and working in America, I'm thankful that there are some legal entries for people to come into this country. But there should not be people coming in illegally breaking the law. Nobody should be breaking the law. That should always be punishable. That should always be a crime. But then she's also breaking the church law by being at the pulpit in the first place, Charlie. You know, the scriptures are very clear on this, that women cannot become bishops. A bishop should be a husband of one wife, it says. It goes as far as saying a woman should be silent in church. I know some people with modern ears will cringe at that, but this is what the scriptures teach us. If we followed the scriptures, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in right now.
Boy, is that right. I think you're 100% correct, by the way. So, Calvin, let's just take a step back. You and I spent great time at the TPUSA Faith Believers Summit this last summer. You were so morally clear on the existential terms of President Trump's election, and you basically said it would be the suffocation of Western civilization if this does not, if President Trump is not successful. We have won. We've taken power. What is the significance of this?
The West has been saved. And that's not hyperbolic at all. Christendom has been saved. This was it. We were at a crossroads. America had a choice whether they go down the same path as the rest of the West. I'm talking about my homeland, Great Britain, and much of Western Europe, where it's diversity, inclusion, and equality are the new idols. Everyone worships multiculturalism at the extent of the culture of the homeland. The predominant culture gets degenerated to nothing. We could have gone down that path, or Americans could have chose something different, could have chose a return to common sense. And I said at one of his rallies that, look, this is about not voting for the perfect politician. No politician is perfect. They're all people. But this is about voting against the evil of the Democrats who wanted liberalization of abortion. Let's just kill babies en masse. They didn't believe in free speech. I remember Tim Walz saying, well, free speech isn't always free speech. Very, very dangerous words in a country where its constitution is founded on the principle of free speech. And so the idea wasn't to vote for the perfect man, Donald Trump. He's not the perfect man. The idea was to vote against the Jezebel spirit. And the Jezebel spirit was on the ballot. And thank God the Americans voted the right way. And you know why I think this country is saved and why I think the West may be saved? Because of prayer. And it all comes down to that miracle where Donald Trump's life was saved. And I'm not saying he is anointed. I'm not saying he has any special ability. I'm saying his life was saved for a purpose. And I believe that it's to save this country and potentially to save the rest of Christendom. Because as a result of that miracle that millions of people around the world saw, Americans were praying again, praying more than they have been for a long, long time. And as a result of their prayer, God has saved this nation in a way that he hasn't others. He has my homeland, the United Kingdom, I believe he's handed over to our desires because we've stopped praying.
What a beautiful statement that is, Calvin. You've been worrying, cautioning and warning about the influx of the Mohammedans to the West. What does this victory mean for the preservation of the society that you and I love against such forces?
Everything that we know to be true, beautiful, and good is so because it's founded in Christian values, including the United States of America. People can say separation of church and state, talk all that fluff all they want. We know that these lands were founded by Christians with Christian ideas, and that means we can welcome people of other faiths than none. That means we can have diversity if we want to, but it means that we must hold to what we know to be true, beautiful, and good. And there are people from other parts of the world who have different ideologies that are counter or contradictory to ours and would destroy us, would destroy our way of life. life. And we have to fight with everything that we can against that. Mohammedan culture is a great example. Throwing people off rivers because they are same-sex attracted. Not allowing women to leave their house unless they're accompanied by a man wearing a, you know, a post letterbox niqab. It's against our fundamental beliefs of liberty and faith and family. And we as Christians have to uphold those values whilst allowing other people to find them too. The beauty of the Christian faith is that we have free will, and we need to show people where Jesus is so they can choose him. We don't force it on people like they do.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Remember that we vote every day with our dollar. One of the best ways to support America is by buying from local farms and ranches. Good Ranchers makes this easy by delivering 100% American meat to your door. When you shop with Good Ranchers, you're not just getting the best meat for your family, but you're also supporting American farmers and ranchers. Instead of buying imported meat, support American agriculture and our local economy. I've used Good Ranchers meat for quite some time, and they never disappoint. Whatever your choice of protein is, you'll be pleased with Good Ranchers. Use code KIRK for $25 off your order, and your choice of free chicken breasts, ground beef, bacon, or wild-caught salmon for a year. It's time to take a stand. Vote for American meat with Good Ranchers. Your purchase helps keep American farms thriving and ensures you get the highest quality meat for your family. Visit GoodRanchers.com and use promo code KIRK today. That is GoodRanchers.com, promo code KIRK. So let's talk about the West more broadly. What is the impact of President Trump's rise, triumph, and victory for the United Kingdom and for the rest of Europe?
Well, let's talk about the state of the United Kingdom. I mean, we have people who are being arrested for saying things the government doesn't want said. My good friend Tommy Robinson is still in prison now, a political prisoner. And let's compare that to what's going on over here. So Donald Trump gets into office. What does he do? He pardons the January 6th political prisoners. Fantastic. And as you point out, there's still work to be done there. But this is a bold move by a politician who's saying, I'm not going to be beholden to what the narrative is put forward by the mainstream media. I'm not going to be beholden to my peers and contemporaries around me. And there are certain Republicans who would object that the J6 has been pardoned and released. He says, I'm going to do what's right. Now, flip back to the United Kingdom. I've got friends who've been arrested for sharing things on Facebook, for retweeting things on X. And of course, as I mentioned, Tommy Robinson for releasing a documentary that contained information the state did not want getting out. Now, our politicians are petrified. So even the ones that think they're conservative, they won't even meet with Tommy Robinson. They'll say, no, his brand is too toxic. I can't do that. So we don't have anyone yet strong enough with the political will to say, I don't care what the legacy media says. I don't care what my peers around me say. I'm going to do what's right. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying for a strong, courageous leader. And so therefore, it has to be someone founded in the faith. People are pointing out leaders like, well, is it Nigel Farage or Trump? Nigel Farage, you know, I worked with him for many years. He's a decent bloke. He got Brexit done. Thank God for that. But he's no Donald Trump because he doesn't have a Christian faith. We need a leader who's founded in Christian values to his very core, because that means they'll push beyond that ambition, that career drive, that wanting to be liked, and do and strive to do what is right, what's good, and what's true. That's what we're looking for. I don't know where that leader's going to come from, but when we look at what's happening in America, we can at least take a bit of that. We've always said that when America sneezes, England catches a cold, right? And we're already seeing the impact of the Trump effect, if you want to call it that, in that people are finding enthusiasm and they're feeling inspired for the first time in a long time. In the United Kingdom, things are dark, things are heavy. I've got friends who've been arrested for silently praying in their own heads, for goodness sake. That's, you know, we've passed free speech. It's thought crime that we're at in the UK right now. And so when people see what's happening in America, they say, we can turn things around. We can actually, the pendulum can swing.
Yes,
back.
You can.
And it takes a vibe change, doesn't it? We have to change. We can't wait on the government to do it for us. We, the people, have to change.
I love it. In closing here, what is your message to the pastors in this country on how to accelerate this transformation and lead it towards a revival to the ultimate purposes of leading people to Christ?
All comes back down to prayer. The reason America has won is because America has been praying again. But winning the election, getting Donald Trump into office, is only the first step. We've got to win back the entire of the West. And even just in these United States of America, there are still some states where babies are being killed on a daily basis. There's all kinds of evil going on. We have to continue to pray. We have to pray more. And that means that the pastors have to be bold. They have to be strong. The ones who were afraid to speak out on COVID, the ones who closed their churches, need to find courage. I mean, this Bishop Marion Buddha is a good example. She's still wearing a face mask in her avatar on Twitter. Have you noticed that? You know, it's a virtue signaling. Like, we are part of the establishment. Move away from that. Move towards Christ. Do what is countercultural. Do what is bound in the faith. And these pastors need to speak up and be bold and say, yes, Donald Trump is not perfect, but he's the man for the job. And look what he's doing. They need to say, we need to vote against these Democrats like Gavin Newsom, who are going to let the whole state burn down because of their politics. We've got to shift away. We've got to be unafraid of speaking on political issues, because the faith is political. It teaches us how to live good lives, and good and evil is objective. It's not based on what people around us think. When we've got a bishop at the pulpit saying, there are gay and trans children. No, there aren't. The Christian message is there aren't. You can't be a trans child. You are either born male or female. And if someone is saying that a child is trans, then they are indoctrinating that child into a harmful ideology where they'll end up with surgical mutilation, genital mutilation, and that's abhorrent. And there's no, you know, the gay children, the children are not gay. Some people in their lives struggle with same-sex attraction, but the church should be teaching them and helping them through that, not pushing them towards it. And I think, you know, seeing that the pride flag is being removed from all US buildings and the US flag is being added back to them, it's a good sign that the time of pride is over. We're now entering the time of patriotism.
Calvin, you're terrific. You're welcome at all of our events. You have such a sharp way of presenting these topics and these issues. And praise the Lord. God voted early on July 13th in Butler, Pennsylvania. And now we are fulfilling that. Let us not forget it. Let us stay humble and let us honor God in all that we do. As it says in Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
We see it all the time when I visit college campuses. Young adults demonize the concept of free markets and think government is the solution to every problem. How do we change this? By teaching our kids the foundational principles to counter what they are taught in public school. Parents want to teach their children about liberty, limited government, and free markets, but often wonder, where do I start? That's where Tuttle Twins can help. They empower parents by providing quality resources that break down these ideas in a way children can understand. Take their book, The Tuttle Twins Learn About the Law. In this story, the twins learn about their rights, that true laws protect people, and that we should help others, and that stealing is always wrong. Children can only change the world for the better if they learn these important principles now. Go to TuttleTwins.com/Charlie today and purchase their 14-book children's series for your family. They'll learn to think for themselves, to stand for liberty. Go to TuttleTwins.com/Charlie today. TuttleTwins.com/Charlie. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Joining us now is the legendary Jack Kibbs. Jack, we missed you at the inauguration, but you made the right move. How is your house? How are things going in Southern California right now?
Yeah, Charlie, we're good for now. The winds have been intense, as you can imagine. Some of these winds, Charlie, have been clocked up to 95 miles an hour. Some places reported 100 miles an hour. We've been with power, off power. We've had 4.5 days with no power. But the fires are predominantly west of us. And right now, I got to tell you, right now, brother, Southern California is a powder keg. Everybody needs to be alert, to be watching for anything and everything, because there's definitely some nefarious activity going on. I'm sure you'll hear more about that as investigations unfold.
Absolutely. I want to talk about California in a minute, because the president is going to California, as you well know, Jack, in just a couple days. As one of his first trips, he's going to North Carolina, then he's going to California. And I just think that's remarkable. But Jack, just from a pastor and a theological standpoint, and Jack, you deserve such great credit for your moral clarity, your fight for liberty, and how you presented to your congregation and your millions of people in your national audience the stakes of this election. What is your take? What is your message to the audience seeing this inauguration and President Trump getting back in the White House?
Well, the fact that God says in the Word, "I establish kings and I remove kings." Also, Charlie, the wake up call is that God gives us leaders that we deserve. So, what happened? For a gruesome 4 years, we had a very, very tough situation with Biden. The turnaround, Charlie, I believe, is 100%. I know this almost sounds self-serving to you and I, but I believe the turnaround has been because we have reached out. We have been faithful to reach out, pleading to God's people to fast, to pray, to seek God's face. And this is a spiritual gift given to us by God. Now, people are going to take issue with that regarding Donald Trump's bombacity or morality. Excuse me, we're all in that same boat. Jesus alone is perfect. And Trump is not our pastor. He is our president. And he was a great president. He's going to be a greater president because God's hand is upon him. Nobody can deny this. And so the fact of the matter is, Charlie, I believe that what has been happening here in California for quite some time has actually been exhibited in these United States. And that is, God has given us a glimmer of hope for now. And I think it's appropriate that he's coming to California, not only because of the fires, but he knows well that California since 2014 has been turning red. And Charlie, I'm going to go out on a limb here, brother. I am going to say that in the upcoming elections, the midterms, and beyond, California is going to shock the nation. You watch and see.
Jack, I believe you, and I can't wait to join you soon at your church. I think in about a month or two, we'll be there together. Jack, I want to get your reaction to this person. I don't even want to call her a bishop. This activist. Let's do it this way. This is an activist. Yep. This is an I think that's the proper and appropriate term. This activist who was scolding President Trump. This is her explanation as to why she did this. This is activist Marianne Edgar Buddy, political activist, Play Cut 82.
I wanted to counter as gently as I could with a reminder of their humanity and their place in our wider community. And I was speaking to the president because I felt that he has this moment now where he feels charged and empowered to do what he feels called to do. And I wanted to say, you know, there is room for mercy. There's room for a broader compassion. We don't need to portray with a broad cloth and the harshest of terms some of the most vulnerable people in our society.
Jack Kibbs, first, from just the improper delivery to do this the day after an inauguration, Jack Kibbs, your thoughts.
First of all, Charlie, who does she think she is? Don't let her little frail demeanor fool you. The magnitude of arrogance and pride that she exhibited to disgrace the U.S. president, to school him like she did, on top of the overwhelming fact that she has no business being there. And that's according to the scriptures. She's usurping authority. She's in a position that the scriptures, 1 and 2 Timothy says, ought not to be happening. But she's so out of touch, or she's in touch with the particular side that she represents, that it was her moment to be the prophet of nothingness, the prophet of wokeism, the prophet of defending those that are hurting. Are you kidding me? Charlie, I've been to the border numerous times. I saw the border before Trump took office. I saw the border after Trump took office, and I spoke to border agents. You want to talk about mercy? They told me what was going on and what stopped when Trump in his first term took power. That was an act of mercy because things were shut down. People, the trafficking began to diminish, and law and order began to prevail. This person should be embarrassed, but I don't think she will be. And whoever is responsible for having her up there did a great dishonor to the National Cathedral and to really what is called faith in Jesus Christ in this nation of ours. Because the Bible tells us, Charlie, you know this well, that in the last days, there's going to be false prophets, false teachers, false representations of what is Christianity, disguising themselves in the place of religion, but denying the power thereof. There was no obedience to the word of God on this, and it was certainly not her place to say what she said in a public setting like this. Disgraceful, but frankly, not surprised, sad to say.
Jack, what is your... let's just say, take on the status of the American church. So there are so many bold pastors like you and many others, but largely the church was not as active as they should have been to get President Trump back in the White House. Why is that? Sure. And please, Jack.
Yeah, it's this is an amazing thing, Charlie, because we have been standing in this water in California fighting for our rights and for our freedoms as a church, understanding the biblical mandate given to the scriptures given from the scriptures to us that, for example, Jeremiah 29:7, that we are to be very engaged and very much committed to the welfare of our community. And it's very clear from Proverbs 29:2 that when the righteous are in power, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people groan. So we as a church here in Southern California, we never did not have a Sunday where you couldn't sign up to register to vote. We informed people of every proposition, of everything. And people used to laugh at us, Charlie. Churches laughed at us. Pastors said to me, "You're wrong. You should preach the gospel." Yeah, we do that too. We can actually walk and chew gum at the same time. We can preach the gospel and be righteousness in the community at the same time. And Charlie, after 35 years, God has been honoring this position. And so other churches, not so many, but other churches have caught on. And it doesn't take many. Remember, Charlie, God doesn't move always with a big crowd. He takes those that are open and willing to follow him. And we're seeing a shift and we're delighted about that. But I am pleading right now for pastors to wake up and to get yourself out there on the front line. Stop hiding behind your congregation. Stop hiding behind your theology. Up till now might be very theoretical. How about putting it forward and doing it? And then your flock will follow. And you know what? Maybe more people will attend your church when they realize that you are an instrument of light and truth. Pastors, I believe that God gave us a gift by giving us 4 more years of religious freedom. We better not waste it. We need to speak up more than ever before. That's my word, Charlie.
What a great message, Jack. I totally and completely agree. As we should not look at this as just a reprieve, which of course it is from the heavens, but an opportunity for a harvest, an opportunity to bring people to Jesus. Jack.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, revisiting this comment, "Well, Pastor Jack, you should just preach the gospel. We don't get involved." Wait a minute. If we preach the gospel and people get saved, what do we do with them after that? We're supposed to make disciples of all of them, Jesus said in Matthew 28. So preaching the gospel is what we do. Give them the gospel. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son," Jesus Christ, right? He is the gospel. He forgives sins. He died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead. What do you do after that? Pastor, you are not an evangelist. Your primary calling, pastor, is to equip your church to do the job of righteousness every day of the week. And so we must do this like never before. Charlie, we're going to be calling a statewide California gathering where we are now going to do a very, very new and revised reach to pastors who have sat it out. Because Charlie, I got to leave you with this, man. So many pastors have reached out in the last few hours and said, "Pastor Jack, I apologize. I see what you've been doing. I see what's been going on. And I want to be on the team." And I'm telling them straight up, it's not Team Jack. It's Team Jesus. Let's obey the Lord and let's just be righteous until we see Christ face to face. Let's go for it.
Amen. Jack Kibbs, you're a great man. I really appreciate your mentorship. I was watching you actually live here in Washington, D.C. on a local TV channel. Jack, please plug your website, Real Life with Jack Kibbs, your books, please, for our audience.
Yeah, the Real Life Network is available on any one of your apps, 24/7, 365. Very, very awesome content, Christian content. So that's Real Life Network. And then also this, you can go to jackkibbs.com for everything else. Thousands and thousands of hours of teaching. And then we're grateful that Living in the Days of Deception is a book that has now become a national bestseller. It's just flying off the shelves. We're happy about that. Living in the Days of Deception. And it turns out to be extremely prescient for the moment that we're in right now today. God bless you, Charlie. Thank you, brother, so much.
Jack, you're wonderful. Thank you so much.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Brand new year, brand new opportunities to change the world for the better. It's easier than you might think. You can save babies by providing ultrasounds with Preborn. Together with the Sanctity of Human Life Month, we're going to save 35,000 babies to show the world that not only do we believe life is precious, but we're going to do something about it. Your gift of Preborn will give a girl the truth about what's happening in her body so that she can make the right choice. What better way to start this new year than to join us to save babies? And $28 a month will save a baby a month all year long. A $15,000 gift will provide a complete ultrasound machine that will save thousands of babies for years and years to come. And will also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. I am a donor to this organization, and you should be too. Start this new year by being a hero for life. Call 833-850-2229. or click on the Preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the Preborn banner. I'm a donor. You should be too. charliekirk.com, Preborn banner.
There is so much news happening. It is at a breakneck pace. And it hasn't even been a couple days. It's been 48 hours, if that, on the border, on energy. And we're seeing President Trump is more popular than ever. Donald Trump's approval rating breaks records as Democrats even start backing him. We're seeing ports of entry closed. Removal of pride flags. That's a big one, by the way. That is more than just a ceremonial victory. That is the removal of the pagan symbol. It was the second national flag of the United States. That was the American symbol worldwide. And President Trump has just completely and totally removed it. It was flying in Cuba and Korea and the Middle East. There's no place flying at any U.S. embassy or the BLM flag. This is all part of that project, the Culture Revolution, to envelop and swallow the United States of America that we all love. But America is roaring back. We are roaring back. And understand the profundity of what President Trump is doing. We, the people, don't just have a seat at the table. We own the table. President Trump signing these executive orders is on we, the people's table. And the founding fathers designed this brilliant system, and President Trump is a vessel within the framework that the founders gave us. And all it takes is the political will and the courage. And look at that. These pride flags, one after the other, they're going to be taken down. They have no place to be flown on any government institution. One of my favorite things is people that I know that are now serving in government are texting me pictures of them taking down pride stickers in cafeterias. Did you know that there is still mask signs all throughout federal buildings? Mask optional. Beware of COVID-19. They're all getting taken down. In the Department of Justice, Department of Interior, DNI, Central Intelligence Agency, the FBI, they're all getting taken down. By the way, you know what's even more amazing? All of this is before President Trump even has his cabinet in place. This is before President Trump even is able to get his people into positions of power. The color revolution failed. The Culture Revolution was supposed to take over this country, but the American people roared back. They went for it. With Floydapalooza, the nation was locked down. They've been waiting for it, and they went for it, and we have roared back. And we cannot drop our guard. And just the brilliance of President Trump's strategy, birthright citizenship, executive order on affirmative action, gone. DEI, gone. Critical race theory, gone. Pride flags, gone. Drill, baby, drill. And there's more coming. There will be more pardons. There will be more executive orders. There will be more straining the federal bureaucracy, because President Trump every day is going to counter the Cloward-Piven strategy. And the Cloward-Piven strategy is nonstop federal bureaucracy that is untouchable, massive machinery of federal bureaucracy that swallows the country, hyperinflation, open borders. We know their playbook, and the counter is very simple. You only beat evil with boldness. Let me say that again. You only beat evil with boldness. You cannot beat this sort of treachery by just, oh, you know, we're going to trim around the edges. And the bad guys almost know it. It feels as if the Democrats are pseudo surrendering. Yeah, they're filing lawsuits and all this, but where's their gusto? Where's their spark? And we're not going to give them a chance to kind of get back up. No, no, no. We're going to keep on going. And they don't even know. They don't know which one of these things to fight. They are aimless. Do we fight against Cash Patel? Do we fight against Bobby Kennedy? Do we fight against Tulsi Gabbard? Oh, my goodness. He just revoked birthright citizenship. And now affirmative action. We have lit 100 different bonfires against every single sacred altar of the American left. Every single one. And they can't put them all out. They can't concentrate their forces. And also their ground troops, their infantry, they're not raising money. There's no zeal. And we are taking back the cultural institutions. Of course, everything we're talking about is metaphorical and peaceful and lawful. And that's why this show matters so much, as we help set the pace on this program. We help set the pace. Administration officials watch this feed and they help understand all the dynamics at play. It is the tip of the spear. It is the cadence of which the administration is going to operate. And you guys are part of history. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, at freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.